message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
The death and the resurrection of Christ is what has brought us hope. Bible says in verse 15, yea, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. In verse 14, if Christ be not risen, 1 Corinthians 15:14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. If Christ did not rise, there's nothing like Christianity again. If there was no resurrection of Christ, then there is no hope for us. I'll be speaking briefly this morning on Thanksgiving and Easter. The connection between Thanksgiving and Easter celebration. Christ paid a lot of price for us in John 3:16. Bible says God himself gave us Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It was a great sacrifice, the sacrifice of death, because at the point of injuring him, he did not open his mouth. In Isaiah 53 verse 7, he did not try to defend himself. Christ could have, his death was a voluntary death. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. As Christ was being punished, he kept quiet. If he said, angels, come now and strike them, they will strike them. If he says, all of you now, freeze where you are, they will freeze. But because of you and I, he paid the price. He suffered buffeting. He suffered caning. He carried the cross. And he did a lot for us. Quickly this morning, what is the implication of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for us? What is the implication? I'll give you about 8 of that, or 9 if God permits me, or less if time does not permit. What is the implication of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Number one implication is the availability of the best of God to man. Jesus was the best that God had. Jesus was the best of everything that God possessed. In fact, Jesus was his priceless possession. Someone say priceless possession. That was God's priceless possession. And he gave him to us. He released him to us. Why? He loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's like saying he gave his best, his very best for you and I. What is sacrifice? Number two, what is the implication of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Number two is the death and the resurrection of Jesus ended fear in our life. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, when Adam and Eve mess up. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, the A part. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. In the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Man became afraid. Man started living in fear from this point. Everything about man was fear. Traveling was fear. Sleeping at night was fear. Going to school was fear. Going to work was fearful. Getting married is like getting into it with fear. But immediately Jesus was slaughtered, was killed, and he rose up again. Fear was terminated. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So a sound mind is an offshoot of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as from today, every spirit of fear around anyone here is arrested finally in the name of Jesus. I'd like to hear your loud amen. Amen. What is the implication of the death and the resurrection of Jesus? The death and the resurrection of Jesus came to put an end to shame and nakedness. If you look at that place again in Jeremiah, in Genesis, beg your pardon, Genesis 3 verse 10 that I just read now, Genesis 3 verse 10b, the B part. He says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. Man became Satan stripped man of his clothes. Satan stripped man of glory. Nobody in this world can be naked and be proud about it. No matter how beautiful you are, you don't want to walk outside naked. Satan stripped man of naked and made him naked. But when Christ came, he clothed us. In Isaiah 53 verse 7. In Isaiah chapter 53 verse 7, the Bible speaking, explaining to us how he says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So he sacrificed to ensure that we are clothed in glory. He sacrificed to ensure that we are covered up and the devil does not see our nakedness. As from today, nobody will see your nakedness again. I said nobody will see your nakedness again. Number four, what is the implication of the death and the resurrection of Jesus? The death and the resurrection of Jesus moved us from curses to blessing. In Genesis 3 verse 14 to 19, we will see a release of curses to man as a result of the fall of man. If Jesus had not come, man would have continued to be inside curses. And the Lord said unto the serpent, go to the next verse. And I will put enmity. Move on. Go to 16. Thank you, Jesus. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow, and thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Yes. And unto Adam, he said, now look at this. 17 to 19. And he said unto Adam, because thou hast had hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed be the ground. God himself cursed the ground for man's sake. He said, any man that is walking, he will be walking on that curse. He will toil the ground, so that the ground will refuse to bring forth. He says, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat, he said, man, this was where we first saw sweat. He said, man will sweat before he can get what to eat. He will sweat and turn unto the ground, for out of the ground, then you return unto the ground. This was the curse released upon man before Jesus came. Now, when Jesus came in Galatians 3 verse 13, Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, the curse was wiped out. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us. So Christ came to redeem us from this curse of sweat, toil, everything that has to do with anything that is called curses was removed and blessings was introduced. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now listen to me, friends. One of the major things that Jesus came to give us is access to the blessing. And blessing is the cure for curses. In Revelation 5 verse 12, listing out all the things that Christ brought for us. Revelation 5 verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Someone say power. And riches. Someone say riches. And wisdom. Someone say wisdom. And strength. Someone say strength. And honor. Someone say honor. And glory and blessing. So, he was slain to ensure that you no longer operate in curses. You are in the family whereby there is a curse, whereby nobody does marriage. People have to first get pregnant before they do their wedding. Maybe you are in a family whereby people have to struggle before they can build two rooms. One room for the father, one room for the mother, and that is all. People have to struggle before anything can be done. As from today, that curse is broken. The death and the resurrection of Jesus is your escape route from curses. And as from today, nobody here will suffer a curse again. I said nobody here will suffer a curse again. The curse that your father suffered, you will not suffer it. Can I hear your loudest amen? Number 5. Implication of the death and the resurrection of Jesus is we now walk in triumph by the death and resurrection. Now we are now winners, or what we can call victors. We now walk in victory according to Colossians 2 verse 15. Colossians 2 verse 15. This was a man that went to spoil principalities and powers. The Bible says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Before now, devil was reigning and ruling. Immediately Adam fell, he was practically in charge. Jesus went into the ground, he went into the grave, and the Bible says he triumphed over them. He ruled over the principalities and powers. He reigned over them. And that triumph was given to us. That victory was given to us. That victory was handed over to us. As from today, you will live a triumphant life. No triumph is very interesting. Somebody fought the battle, but he gave you the trophy. Somebody went inside the fire and destroyed the wickedness of the wicked. And what he brought back, he handed it over to you. You will not lose that triumph. Number 6, implication of the death and the resurrection of Jesus is the elimination of struggling. If you read Genesis 3 verse 23, you will see that man started struggling when the curse came. Because God sent him out of the garden where he was comfortable. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. Why? To till the ground. He was comfortable in Eden, but God said, get out of this Eden. Go to the place where you'll be struggling. Go to the place where things will not be easy. But when Jesus came, he restored us back to where we lost. He restored us back to where devil schemed us out of. Don't forget that it was the devil that schemed the woman out of in deception, in Genesis 3 from verse 1, in his subtle way, in his wicked way, in his serpentine way, he deceived the woman and allowed God turned his back on man and sent man out. There was no way man could repossess that place except blood was shed. And the blood of goat and ram cannot do it except the blood of the best of God. And that best is Jesus Christ. That valuable blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. The blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. That blood was what restored us back to that status that we lost. You will not lose it again. I say you will not lose it again. We have been restored and we will not lose it again. Number 7, implication of the death and the resurrection of Jesus is the termination of sickness. In Isaiah 53 verse 5. Isaiah 53 verse 5. The Bible says, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So our God is a healer. The death of Jesus and his resurrection is the termination of sickness. That is why when sickness is in your body, it has become an illegal occupant. And when a tenant is in a house and is an illegal occupant, he has refused to pay his rent, what do? They evict him out. They give him a notice. If they like, they carry soldier there and evict him immediately. Sickness is a stranger in your body. That is not how God created you. Many of you know that the things that are troubling you now, they were not there from the beginning. How many of us can be a witness to that? They were not there from the beginning. They came as a visitor and they are going today. I said they are going today. That wonderful lady said, my tummy was bloated. And I explained to friends that are doctors like me, I can't understand. They said, we can't get it. I believe many tests has been done. And doctors are one of the most difficult people to convince about miracles. Because of their high IQ is always very high. Super intelligent people. So to believe that something is a miracle is a miracle. Okay? It is the enzymes didn't work before, but when you took some vitamins to boost it, you see the thing started working. It was revived, according to one medical something somewhere. According to osteoplastic. The concept from the professor of we are talking of the professor of all professors. Even in medicine, a person can only be a professor of one part of medicine. Maybe gynecology or ophthalmology or one area or another. Pediatrics. But you can't be a professor of everything. We are talking of the professor of everything. That professor spoke through this small boy. And said, there is somebody here with a bloated tummy you can't understand. He's being deflated now. She said, March 11. I can't even remember. And Jehovah touched that person. And that problem that doctors cannot understand was dissolved. I speak to somebody here again this morning. That challenge that is here this morning that is disturbing you. That thing that doesn't want you to dance very well. It is dissolved here this morning in the name of Jesus. It is dissolved here this morning in the name of Jesus. That pain in your body, that pain in your eyes, that pain in your back, that infection in your private part, that challenge in your liver, that challenge with your heart, that challenge with your voice, that challenge with your back, that challenge is hereby gone out right now in the name of Jesus. By the power of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, receive your healing now. Receive your healing now. Receive your healing now. Can I hear your loudest amen? Give Jesus a clap as you take your seat. So Jesus, he terminated sickness. He loves us being in good health. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That's my desire for you. 3 John verse 2. His desire is for us to be in health. And as from today, health will be your portion. I say health will be your portion. One of the major things that makes smile to disappear from people's faces is sickness. Somebody who smiles a lot. Hello, hey, hi, how you doing? Hello, how's everything? All of a sudden, the smile just disappears once sickness arrives. The smile you just think maybe the person is not, is a sadist, or the person is something wrong. It is sickness. And from today, sickness will no longer be heard in our camp. Sickness will no longer be heard in our camp. Can I hear your loudest amen? Number 8. What is the implication of the death and resurrection of Jesus? It is the elimination of poverty and access to riches. I mean, I love this personally because I hate poverty. Poverty will make you cheated. Poverty will make you lie. Poverty will cause untimely death. In fact, the poor, it might be difficult to enter heaven because he will sin. Christ died so that you cannot be poor again. Don't let anybody wash your brain that there is a relationship between righteousness and poverty. It's a lie. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake, somebody say for your sake. Sorry, maybe we should read together because the way people are looking at me as if what I'm saying is 1, 2, go. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was a rich man, yet for your sake he became poor. Why? That you, through his poverty, might what? Can you see? Jesus was rich. Tete. Someone say tete. Tete. He now succumbed to being poor. He succumbed and he came down to the level of poverty. I'm not the one that said it. The Bible said it. And he said he became poor and transferred his riches to somebody. Who is that person here today? So if things are not working now, don't worry. Very soon it will soon show. I said it will show. Your account will show it. Your look will show it. I say your look will show it. Your pocket will show it. Can I hear your amen? In my place. They say the change of a rich man is not good, but the change of a poor man is the best. When a man that is already rich changes and transforms to a poor man, he can commit suicide. Most of the suicide we see is because of this money matter. Although some also on the issue of relationship. Some people are so stupid that a lady jeans them, say, I'm not doing it again. And then the guy says, you're not doing anything. You're not doing all my investment. Oh yeah, you go and carry that poison and eat. Go to air fire straight. Most of the deaths that people die is because of when they were doing very well before, all of a sudden they say, I cannot stand it. How many of you heard the story? I read the story some time ago, I think for me on the internet, on the news, of a man somewhere abroad. Very, very rich. Very, very rich. They embezzled the country's money. Plenty. He now went to the court. They took him to the court. And they were going to judge him to life imprisonment that he cannot have access to the money forever. He will release the money and they will put him in prison forever. He went to the court with chemical acid inside the bottle. Immediately the judge said, This is my judgment. No more. All this money is moving to the government. Also, you are going to prison. He just brought out his bottle. He said, you don't bother to go forward too much. He opened the bottle. He said, this is chemical. This is good chemical that will kill somebody now. Before the police could even get to him, the chemical, the bottle was already in his stomach. You will not be poor. I said, you will not be poor. Christ died to give you access to resources. That's why your business must prosper. That's why your organization must not die. That's why that little business in your hand must go forward. That's why what you are doing must not be something that is generating losses. As from today, you will continue to enjoy prosperity. You will continue to enjoy prosperity. Bible says in Psalms 35 verse 27, the B part, Psalms 35 27, Bible says, God delights in the prosperity of his servants. God delights, God is happy about the prosperity of his servant. I don't know about you, but I reject poverty. What about you? Again, in your generation, uncle, in your business, in your house, poverty must be rejected. And today, I reject it on your behalf in the name of Jesus. I reject poverty on your behalf in the name of Jesus. Number 9, implication of the death and resurrection of Jesus is the eradication of condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. When Christ came, he came to remove us from condemnation. He came to eradicate condemnation from our lives. And I pray for somebody here today that as from today, your testimony shall be massive in Jesus' name. How do we show our gratitude for all this? We can only show it through our thanksgiving. Philippians 4 verse 6. Philippians 4 verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make all your requests known unto God. The only way and the best way to show God that all this sacrifice, we appreciate it. The best way is for us to thank God. Why is thanksgiving so important? I run through that in next 3 minutes, then we'll begin to close. Thanksgiving is important because, number one, God cannot thank himself. Psalms 50 verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Thanksgiving is important because God cannot thank himself. For all these things that God has done, Psalm 150 verse 6. For all these things that God has done, he cannot thank himself for it. We are the ones that we thank him for it. Number 2, why is thanksgiving so important? He deserves it. Somebody say he deserves it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
You deserve it.
My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
My hallelujah
belongs to you.
Number 3. Why is thanksgiving so important? You can only access God if you are a thanksgiver. You can only access God if you're a thanksgiver. Psalms 100 verse 4. Number 4. Why is thanksgiving so important? To show our gratitude to God. It is a sign that we have not forgotten what he has done. Psalms 100 verse 1 to 3. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 verse 1 to 3. It is a sign. Psalm 103 verse 1 to 3. It is a sign that we know his benefits towards us. It is a sign that we have not forgotten his good works in our lives. I cannot go through all the scriptures because of time. Also, Luke 17, 12 to 19. Luke 17, 12 to 19. You can go through all these scriptures when you get home. Number 5, why is thanksgiving so important? It qualifies us for more. more of what God has done for us if we thank him. All the benefits we have shown you, the 9 benefits I showed you this morning, you can get more of it if only you thank God for it. Number 6, why is thanksgiving so important? Is because everything I've listed earlier on can be preserved only with thanksgiving. Everything can be preserved only with thanksgiving. I want to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, as I round up this morning, the best way you can show God that you appreciate his death and his resurrection, number 1, is that you thank him. And this morning, avenue is available for us to thank him, to praise him, to jump up. I've told you before, I feel very awkward when I see people don't even worship. Most likely when I go out, most of the time, most people don't do it here. I'm invited somewhere and I see people just looking when they are worshiping God. I wonder, who are you? Who do you think you are? I just wonder. I wonder when I see people jumping up and I see somebody just doing like this and just watching others like one has come for a film show. We must not do that this morning. We must lift our voice to him. We must respond to the worship leader. We must respond to the praise team. We must respond to the beats. Everything matters to God. Do you know, even clapping matters to God. Psalm 47 verse 1. Psalm 47 verse 1 say, clap your hands. So even clap matters. Jump matters. Everything matters to God. And this morning, an avenue will be created for us to make that happen. The second thing that can make us know that we appreciate this God's blessing and sacrifice is to give him your life. You hand up. Many of us are still living our own lives. God wants you to hand over your life to him. Say, give me your life. In the Bible says, God said, give me your heart. Say, my son, give me your heart. This morning, God is speaking to you. The death of Jesus must not be in vain. Calvary must not be in vain. The resurrection, the death, the suffering of Jesus must not be in vain. Calvary must not be in vain. Calvary must not be in vain. Calvary must not be in vain. That is, Christ must not die for nothing. Christ must not die and you are still being in the other camp. You must be in his camp.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.com.